I'll never forget my first experience using an automatic car wash. Approaching it with the dread of going to a doctor, I inserted the money in the slot, nervously checked and rechecked my windows, eased the car up to the line, and waited. Powers beyond my control began moving my car forward as if I was on a conveyor belt. There I was, cocooned inside, when a thunderous rush of water, soap, and brushes hit my car from all directions. What if I get stuck in here? What if the water crashes in? I was thinking irrationally. Suddenly, the waters ceased. Those flappers quit hitting my car. And after this wind tunnel effect, my car was propelled to the outside world, clean and polished. In the midst of all this, I remembered stormy times in my life when it seemed like I was on a conveyor belt, a victim of forces beyond my control. Car wash experiences, I'll call them. I remember that whenever I passed through deep waters, my Redeemer had been with me, sheltering me against the rising tide. When I came out the other side, which I always did, I was able to say with joy and confidence, He is a faithful God. Our latest car wash experience was with 10 youth, including my daughter, my wife, and three folks from Brooklyn First Church of the Brethren. We had just boarded the subway heading toward the Big Apple for a tour and a cruise to see Miss Liberty. I can remember as we entered the subway, a man sleeping on a bench. I remember leaning toward the pastor and wondered if he was homeless. He lay there peaceful for several moments until suddenly he erupted with a mighty roar in his voice. I can vividly recall the youth freezing. Some began to shake, others with their heads facing towards the floor, doing their best to ignore the situation. There was shock. There was fear. There was little time to think. He became louder and louder and shouted obscenities at our group. In particular, my wife, Denise, who was his victim directly in front of him. She describes the experience as a force of evil coming over her. But she also describes this hedge of protection that surrounded her. She had felt his long goatee against her neck, the heat from his breath and the spit from his words. As he continued belting louder and louder, it became evident he wasn't a fan of Christ's followers. And as he spoke words against our Jesus, I'd quickly glance at him to make sure Denise was okay and the others nearby. In that car wash experience, all I could think to do was pray. In Jesus' name, please let him stop. Please let him get off this subway. I could sense that the youth were catching on, and they began to fervently pray as well. How much longer, I would say to the Lord. The time seemed endless, but then it happened. At the very next stop, he stepped off, but he continued his rage. We all stood there in relief that God had delivered us from the evil one. One youth recalls in particular saying peace, and others very glad they were able to hold their tongues. There was no doubt that God had showed up and provided protection. There's a feeling that God used that situation to focus us on the light that breaks through the darkness. We're reminded this morning that we are indeed children of light. There's a love, there's a hope that glows passionately inside us to share in a world that ever increasingly needs to see Jesus. We are humbled by that opportunity, and it will forever beckon the fact that Jesus stuck out all over us. It's like this boy who asked his pastor how he was supposed to accept Jesus into his heart. The pastor explained to the boy, but he said, "Pastor, Jesus was a full-grown man. I'm just this little boy. If I accepted him into my life, I'd have him sticking out all over." The pastor looked at the young lad and simply nodded and replied, "Exactly." This morning, Have you noticed Jesus sticking out all over in the midst of your car wash experiences? There are times in our lives we won't soon forget. But time and time again, we can point to the fact that God was near. His presence was with his people. His light shined brightly despite the encounter with darkness. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe all things happen for a reason. When things happen we can't seem to explain, I believe that these things too shall pass. The reality, friends, is that we live in a dark world. Our greatest, our only hope is the light of Jesus Christ reflected through true believers. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd invite you to turn to our scripture lesson from 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. We hear Paul saying these words. Now concerning how and when all this will happen. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. They say that what you don't know can't hurt you. But how can that really be true? Suppose your house is invaded by termites that are eating away at the studs and beams and rafters, but you don't know it. Suppose you're on an extended trip, but you left water boiling on the stove, but you forgot. Suppose there's an allergy to some food that you absolutely love, but you've never made the connection. Or what if you're at a party with friends and strangers among you, and there's a piece of food stuck in your teeth, only you don't know it? This reminds me of my lunch break at Haas's while taking a Brethren polity course. The waitress would continually return to my table with this huge smile on her face and ask if I needed anything. I thought it was peculiar. I couldn't figure it out until I went to the bathroom only to find out that the clam chowder I had just eaten was clinging to my beard. Not knowing what you need to know can, in fact, hurt you. This is true not only in the regular course of day-to-day living. It's also true in the spiritual realm. God said through his prophet Hosea in chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are being destroyed because they don't know me." Here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul describes two kinds of people. One we might call people of the night. They live in the darkness. The other he calls children of the day. They live in the light. Light and dark can be very useful words. We easily associate them with good and evil. In Return of the Jedi, Darth Vader says to Luke Skywalker, "Give yourself to the dark side." Clearly, he means to win Luke to the cause of evil. But this morning, it's not just good and evil that come into view when we think about light and dark. It's an understanding and a lack thereof. It's knowing and not knowing. Some people get it. That is, they grasp reality. And some, they don't. They live in a world of illusion and self-deception. Ephesians 4:18, Paul speaks of it as this. Those whose minds are full of darkness, they wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against them. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, he references, those who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. It confirms in our spiritual lives that what you don't know can hurt you. In his prayer to the Father on the night before he died, Jesus himself defined eternal life in terms of knowing in John 17:3. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. In our text for the day, Paul is writing to the children of light, to the children of the day. These are the people who know God, and might I add, know him personally. These are the people who are not darkened in their understanding. Those who have the ability to discern spiritual truth. In other words, if anybody gets it, these people do. But it's like he had to remind them. We are not of the night or darkness, he said. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. It's almost like they forgot. If we're honest, we all forget sometimes, don't we? There's this little 5-year-old girl who asked her grandma how old she was. Grandma replied, she was so old she didn't even remember anymore. And the little girl said, well, if you don't remember, all you have to do is look in the back of your underwear. Mine says 5 to 6. I know I forget all the time, even my age, although that's on purpose. I can forget that I belong to the day. And what do? I start slumming around in the night. My lamp begins to flicker. I find myself stumbling in the dark. But Jesus said this in John 11:9-10. There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Now here is the contradiction that Paul addresses in 1 Thessalonians. Children of the day acting like children of the night. Those who have been awakened, slipping off into slumber. People who know, but they forget. What we're talking about here is clouded thinking, what someone actually called stinking thinking. We know God's our treasure. We have that much light. But we forget somehow, and we look to everything else in this world in a desperate search for fulfillment. We know we belong in life and in death, not to ourselves, but to our Savior, Jesus Christ. But somehow, some way, it escapes us in our dark trials of life. We tend to give ourselves to everything else in this world in a desperate search for security. We know, in the words of Francis of Assisi, that it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. But sooner or later, we return to this thinking that it's all about me. And that what I want is the most important thing in this world. We know we're actually here for others, but we live not realizing it. We think that they're here for us. Our vocabulary becomes punctuated with the first person personal pronoun. I deserve. I'm entitled. I want. I need. And here's my understanding of that. It's what I'd call this morning sleepwalking. To use Paul's metaphor of drunkenness, we're intoxicated with ourselves. But Paul says, let's not do that. Let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Here he shifts to the metaphor of dressing ourselves. My wife will tell you I'm not very good at that. He tells us to put on the attire that will protect us from our stinking thinking. A soldier dresses for battle, and so does a follower of Christ. Night is coming, Jesus said. The darkness will assault us. So we put on our armor and our helmet. Armor to protect the heart, the place of our affections. And a helmet to protect the mind, the place where we know and understand. The place of discernment and wisdom. The place, my friends, where we get it. This armor Paul talks about is not made of some material substance that you and I can hold on to. Neither is that helmet. Paul tells us elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. You see, this morning, our armor is faith and love. Faith by which we protect our heart and secure our affections, so that what we desire is not this world and its cheap substitutes, but rather God's best. And our helmet is hope. Hope is the confidence that the future that God has promised will, in His time, become reality. By such hope, we protect our thinking, so that we do not become deceived by the world and its false promises. Rather, as 1 John 1:7 states, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Whenever Scripture speaks of clothing, the way Paul does here, I think about Galatians 3:27. He writes, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. It's really cool to think about our baptism in those terms. It means we're clothed with Christ. We're dressed for living in the light of day. And in the same way, this is how we put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet for the hope of our salvation. It means to put on Christ. It means to be reminded of our baptism every day. And this morning, might we be challenged to remind ourselves of our own baptisms, reminding us of the promises given that He will renew our trust in Him. In so many ways, our baptism is our identity. It's our uniform. In this case, clothes do make the man or woman. Brothers and sisters, this is the only life we have to live. Let's be dressed for the occasion and live our lives like we know who and whose we are and where we're going. Let us not wander around in a fog of confusion. Let us not stumble in the darkness. It does us well to remember what we don't know can hurt us. So as the prophet Hosea says in chapter 6, verse 3, oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, can we truly identify the source of light in the dark world in which we live? Can we identify the life in Christ to which we claim among others? When darkness surrounds us, do we know the source of our help and our comfort? When the next car wash experience makes its way to our doorstep, will we shine our lights of hope and love? Let's pray. Lord, we know You are a faithful God. We know that You are a God that we can trust and put our hope in. Lord, many of us may be in a car wash experience right now, not knowing what's going to happen. But Lord, we put our faith in you. We know that there's a reason for all things. And we turn to you in this desperate time, in these dark times, and ask that you would allow us to shine our lights, to be Jesus to those around us. Lord, we know you are our help, our comfort. We pray that you would indeed meet us, that you would draw near to us and help us through our car wash experiences. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.